the U.S.-China trade war is getting pretty specific. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Trump administration has now announced a new round of import penalties on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, which means next week the U.S. will have tariffs on half of all Chinese imports. China says this morning it'll retaliate with more tariffs of its own, which may trigger President Trump to make good on his plan to then essentially tax and put tariffs on everything China sends this way. U.S. retail stores that sell this stuff are watching this closely, as Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
With this latest round of tariffs, shoppers are going to feel it almost immediately, says Han Kwaik. She's with the trade group, the Retail Industry Leaders Association, which represents both stores like Target and the people who make the stuff Target sells. She says this 10% tariff will affect Americans
from the moment that they wake up in the morning to the moment that they go to bed. So everything from lights to mattresses to even the food that they eat.
The 10% tariff kicks in Monday, and they're expected to bump up to 25% in January if tensions don't improve. The administration says this staggered approach is an effort to help companies find new supply chains. But sourcing supply chains isn't that easy to do, says Kwaik.
When we were looking at List 2, for example, products like stickers were going to take about a year long to find a new vendor and set up the supply chain necessary to bring stickers into the United States.
And for products more complex than stickers, say electronics, that's going to take a while longer. But Kwaik says she's grateful that several hundred goods, including baby products, got taken off the tariff list.
All right, Erica, thank you. Now let's bring in Lindsay Piegza, chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus & Company. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I saw the quote here. The Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said today that consumers won't even feel the effects of these new tariffs because they're so spread out. Is that right? We won't feel it?
The tariffs are now becoming more widespread, hitting a number of products. So it really will depend on the type of products that consumers are used to consuming on a month-to-month basis and whether or not there's an equal substitutable item that they can replace. But it's also going to very much depend on whether or not producers can pass these cost increases on to consumers. We aren't seeing a significant improvement in wage growth here in the U.S., and so consumers are still on relatively modest footing. And I do think that producers are going to have a very difficult time passing entirely these cost increases on to consumers without the risk of losing market share.
So if an American is shopping for a new bicycle, just about all of which are produced in places like China, and if they're subject to tariffs, they don't just tack on another 10% or 25% to the cost of the bike. It's possible the bike seller might eat some of that and the increase might be a little less.
Absolutely, because the consumer may find it very difficult to buy that bike at that higher cost. And so overall, producers might run the risk then of selling a significantly lower number of bikes. We did see that bike helmets, at least, were left off of that list. So consumers will be able to still buy the helmets without that additional tariff.
Apparently, children's high chairs as well will also be exempt. Lindsay Piegza at Stifel Nicolaus, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We're wrapping up one of the hottest summers on record in the U.S. Farm workers are 20 times more likely to die of heat-related illnesses than other workers, and they're looking for more protection. Eilish O'Neill has the story.
Brenda Sanchez is an immigrant from Mexico who's been working in the orchards of Washington's Wenatchee Valley for 15 years. Temperatures in the valley often rise above 90 or even 100 degrees on summer afternoons. Washington is one of three states where agricultural employers have to provide water for their workers. But Sanchez says that's not always enough. Sanchez says the water employers provide is often too warm or too far away from where she's working to drink. Over the past 3 decades, about 800 workers have died from heat exposure, according to government statistics. Almost 1 in 5 worked in agriculture.
We have a chronically underhydrated workforce in agriculture.
That's Howard Rosenberg, an agricultural economist at the University of California in Berkeley.
Even when people aren't falling down and needing to be carried off by an ambulance, people are impaired in their cognition, in their physical performance, and in their longer-term health.
Washington, Minnesota, and California have regulations that aim to protect the people who harvest our food from the heat. Of those, California's rules are the strictest. They require employers to provide shade and cool water close to the workers. Brian Little is with the California Farm Bureau, a nonprofit that represents farmers and ranchers.
Compliance with the heat illness prevention standard hasn't been easy and it hasn't been cheap, but it's something that California farmers have had to build into their cost of doing business.
Now, farmworker advocates are petitioning the federal government to follow California's lead and enact regulations protecting workers nationwide from the heat. David Michaels is a public health professor at George Washington University and was the assistant secretary of labor for OSHA during the Obama administration. He signed the petition.
If we had the standard telling employers what to do, most employers would provide workers with water, rest, and shade.
OSHA has received the petition, and a spokesperson says it is under review. In the Wenatchee Valley, I'm Alicia O'Neill for Marketplace.
10 years ago, I remember dazed Wall Street folks on commuter trains here looking like the walking dead as the financial system teetered at the abyss. First, there was the bailout, but later there was the Dodd-Frank overhaul of the financial system. We'll talk to former Senator Dodd and former Congressman Frank about how that vast set of reforms is doing. That's later this week here on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. This is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.